Max, why don't you tell us how the Rideouts got its start?
Right. It all started in 2003 while I was living in Liverpool, England. And I was part of a project called Earl Grey, formed by a former Bully Rag guitarist, Stuart Boyle. Some people left the band, so it was only us two left. And we kind of tried to carry on, but, you know, we were taking different directions. So I started the Rideouts. I thought it was the right time to start my own project. And I took it from there, really. Came back to Italy and finished the first record called The Storm After the Calm, which came out in 2009. And now we just released Heart and Soul, is the third one and possibly the best one we recorded so far.
Mm. Now, how would you feel the band's evolved with Heart and Soul? Because I heard your new song earlier today called Not Enough, and it's got a groove to it. I love it because I'm a guitar player myself, and it's got really guitar-heavy, you know, groove to it. So how would you say you've evolved from inception to Heart and Soul?
Well, I really like the new sound because, you know, we started as a trio. It was only like me on guitar and vocals, a bass player and a drummer. And now it's five of us. And, you know, with a backing vocalist, Michela Grilli, and another guitarist, Andrea Radini. So the sound is bigger. We can actually perform the songs as they are on the record live as well, which was, you know, a bit harder in a trio formation, and you can hear it on the record. The sound is fuller, and you can hear it live, as I said. So I'm really happy with it.
Hmm. Now, how do you think going from a trio to a five piece has affected your style and your songwriting as well? How would you say it has with that?
Well, obviously, you know, it gives you more possibilities. As I said before, live, the songs didn't quite match, you know, especially the ballads, the level they had on the record. So now I can actually write them and be sure that, you know, they can be performed live and sound pretty much the same.
Nice. Now, being a guitar player myself, I've got to ask the total geeked out guitar question. And what kind of gear are you using?
Right, a Marshall amp.
Nice.
That's the sound of the Rideouts.
Like a JCM 800, 900, something like that, or a Plexi.
800, or? JCM 800. Okay. Yeah. And a Fender Strat, American Strat standard. And an Epiphone Les Paul.
The Strats, you got to love the Strats, man. Those are like the workhorses of the electric guitar world, man. Because I noticed in Not Enough, that was the first thing I noticed, you know, being a total geeked out guitarist, and was the Strat sitting in the corner of the Sunburst with the HSS configuration and the Floyd Rose and the maple fretboard. I was like, yeah, there you go. You know, because nice. That's my favorite config, too. You know,
all right.
Yeah.
Glad you liked it.
Yeah, because I've got one just like that, but it's a blonde one. And I've took one of the tone pots out and replaced it with a coil tap, so I can get that old Strat sound if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
nice.
Yeah, so it's good. It's good to see that stuff, you know, still getting used. You know, but it looks like you also use Black Star amps too, because that was what it was leaning on.
Yeah, yeah. Not me actually, but Andrea Radini. He's using a bit of that as well. So. That's one of the things when I said, you know, the sound is fuller and it's different from the previous records because we're using different gears as well. So there you go.
Now, going from one guitarist to two guitarists, did you find it a bit of a challenge mixing a second guitarist in there? Because I've been in situations like that before where sometimes it'll sound muddy.
Well, actually, I've been playing with Andrea for quite a few years now. Not in the Rideouts, but with side projects. So we kind of know each other. So it hasn't been that difficult, you know, to, you know, setting the band. And I always record, and we always record different guitar tracks, you know. So kind of you play one and I play the other kind of thing. So
and you just tweak your sounds, and then you just tweak your sound and everything to go
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now with Art and Soul just coming out last week, I think it was last Wednesday. What would you say was the best song on there personally? Like if you could pick one song on there and throw the rest away, what would it be and why?
Well, it'd be Put the Blame on Me, track number 6 on the record, just because it means a lot to me, because it's very personal, it's very intense in terms of what it talks about. So that would be it.
Nice. Now, have you played these songs out live yet off the new record?
We performed, on the same day the record came out. Mm-hmm. We had the release party in our hometown, Trieste, mm-hmm. in Italy. And it was a great success because we didn't expect that many people. And the theater was actually jam-packed. So we really enjoyed it. People enjoyed it. Happy days. Carry on from there.
Nice, nice. Now, how do you feel personally the songs interpret live as compared to the studio recordings?
When you record in your own studio, it's just you and your guitar or maybe a keyboard, whatever. Performing live, it's, you and the fans or the public, whatever you want to call it, interacting. I give you something, you give me something back,
mm-hmm.
and it's great. It's great. I love playing live because that's the musician's life, really, isn't it?
Yeah. It's almost like the studio can be a bit stifling at times, I think.
Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, as you said, can be. Sometimes I found it boring because obviously I wasn't in my own studio. I was in someone else's. And I didn't really like it. So I thought it was like a waste of time. Live, you always get something back, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's really intense. So it's always good, if you know what I mean. In the studio, if you waste your time, it's just wasted. There's nothing coming back to you. But live, you get people's reaction. So you can say, oh, I've written a good tune or I've written a bad tune, but at least you get something back.
Yeah, exactly. And that's actually, don't you think that would be more, or you can use that as a gauge too, to see how the songs go over well live by seeing how the audience reacts to it and then seeing what kind of feedback you get as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. In fact, we were thinking about, the next singles, and we had a couple, and we said, okay, just perform, play the show and see how the people react. And if they react well for them two songs, then great. If not, we're just going to, change choice, And they reacted very well for them two songs, so we stick to them.
Exactly. Now, what do you guys have coming up? Are you guys going to tour the rest of Europe? Are you coming over to the States? Or?
Well, hopefully, yes. Later this year, we had a chat with a friend of ours who lives in New York, who's a radio presenter as well. And he said, you guys should come over in September, October, something like that. So we're trying to sort things out to see if we can make it, because that would be great. Other things, it was just early days. So we're just trying to organize things. So what I suggest is just keep an eye on our website and our Facebook page. So news will come very soon, I think.
Nice. Now, you just shot a video that, we were talking about earlier for Not Enough. In your opinion, what's the concept for that and how did it go?
Well, I just wanted to kind of stick to the lyrics, which, talks about being influenced by the media and kind of, just not follow whatever they say. a friend of mine who was actually the director of the video, he had this little place that looked like an old hospital. And I said, that'd be great if we can, you know, shoot the video there. That'd be absolutely amazing because it was perfect for the song. And so we did. And, you know, as you can see, the result was pretty amazing, I reckon. So
yeah, it was great. It kind of had a noir feel to it as well.
Oh yeah.
You know, which I really dig too. And I was actually going to say either mental hospital or jail.
More the first one.
Yeah, exactly. But it turned out really good because it's got a nice look to it. I mean, it's a good, it's a good solid video. I really enjoyed it. Like I said.
Yeah, it was just like, you know, the message was use your head, you know, don't believe anything they tell you. And that what we try to, to show in the video.
Exactly. Now, where can we find the Rideouts online?
Well, on our website, therideouts.com, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, we're pretty much everywhere. Spotify, Apple Music.
Nice. And the album's on YouTube, Google Play, and all that stuff too, right?
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. Everybody go check it out because I'm really digging what I'm hearing. So
thank you.
You guys have a really good tight groove, man. I mean, it's from one musician to another. Hats off, man. I mean, because that's as you know as well as I do. It's hard to get a style going that you want.
Well, to be honest, you know that's what I always thought. I mean. I come from a certain background, and I enjoy playing covers of, you know, artists that I like, the Beatles, Zeppelin, Rolling Stones, and so on. And my music comes from there, so I couldn't see myself playing other stuff because I wouldn't be honest with myself. I would just do it for I don't know what. So I think. People listening to that kind of thing will recognize, you know, say straight away, oh, he's not doing something he believes in. So that's what I'm doing.
Precisely.
I'm just playing the music that I like. That's it.